Welcome to the D Word Podcast, where we talk dementia. Good to have your company on another D Word Podcast. On this edition, we're going to be talking gymnastics. Now, before you think that's not really for me, let me explain. Our type of gymnastics is done without leaving your armchair. Love to Move is a physical fitness program for people living with dementia and other neurodegenerative diseases run by the British Gymnastics Foundation. And my guest on this edition, Trudy Carruthers, can tell us all about it. Trudy, welcome to the D Word. Great to have you here as my guest. We're going to be talking about Love to Move, which was developed by British Gymnastics. But before we get into all of that, I mean, how did you get into doing what you're doing?
It's quite a long story, actually. My nana passed away about 15 years ago, and she had dementia for about 20 years. And there was nothing out there for my nana. She loved music, so we did play music, but she would have loved the programme that I do now. And it's about bringing people together. And also, with the Love to Move, I've seen quite a lot of my people that attend the classes are non-verbal. But once you put the music on, they sing, and they sing very loud. And it's so lovely to see. It's really good.
So, before the experience with your nan, did you know much about dementia at all? Or
I didn't know really anything about it. Not until sort of like my nana got it. And then, of course, then you go into the. I had to put my nana in a residential home because she couldn't look after herself. And then you realise the capacity of how many people are like suffering with dementia. And it does open your eyes. So at the minute, I got made redundant in March of last year, and I just thought I want to do something and make a difference. So I did the training, and I must say the little groups that I was running, because I've introduced the Love to Move program, they've all sort of doubled in size, and I haven't advertised yet. It's all word of mouth. So I think people love it makes them feel better. You can see at the beginning of a class, people are like, I'm here. But by the end of it, they've got so much motivation. They're more alive. They're more alert. It's just amazing to see it in front of your eyes.
Yeah, it's a very special thing when those things happen. I mean, so British gymnastics, I've got to say, when people say gymnastics, they expect people doing triple flips and jumping up and down and everything. Obviously this is seated gymnastics. I mean, how does that work?
It is seated, but there is sort of like more advanced ones, because some of the people that attend maybe can't sit down, or they can hold on to a chair and stand up. So, you can get more advanced Love to Move, because we train in different, there's Alzheimer's, Parkinson's and dementia. So we train specifically. See, if it was a Parkinson's class, I would adapt the exercises for that, which is mainly sitting down. But you sort of, with Parkinson's, you elaborate on the movement, you make it a bigger movement. So like if you're rubbing suntan lotion, which I know it's hard to think of it this time of year, but if you're rubbing suntan lotion into your arms, you would just elaborate and make it a bigger movement. So the Love to Move program is absolutely, I mean, when I do see it's from the British Gymnastics, everybody will go, oh wow, I can't do cartwheels or handstands or anything. But it's seated, and I mean, every month they have training online, and something that the Love to Move do, they keep you, even though it's all over England and the country, they keep you informed, and you meet up with lots of other trainers, and there's always more learning to do, so that you're not just left once you pass your exam. You're still part of the Love to Move family, and there's a lot of people who probably like me and you did not know that the Gymnastics Foundation did this, because I really think they need to promote it more, because it's an amazing thing that this program is. And I met a lady who was from London about a month ago, and her daughter is a gymnast, and she takes out the gymnastics training through the London, the British Gymnastics Foundation, and she didn't know anything about this. She says it's never been like advertised, it's not on a wall, no posters, and she was looking into it because she thought it was amazing.
Well, before you emailed me, I had no idea about it, most definitely. I mean, you talked about kind of, how you train. I mean, what's the training consist of when you actually train to become a coordinator?
It's all online training, so it was really, really weird how having like just a screen in front of you and you're having to sort of play the music and act as if you've got like 10 people or more around you doing the exercises. So it is all online. But when I did one of my exams, I did it in a community garden. And it was a lovely summer's day, and I did, I think it was one of just before my exam, it was like a prep for an exam, and one of the invigilators was watching me on my laptop. So I was in this beautiful garden space with my lovely group of people, and the sort of the hour's exam ended with a dog sitting on my knee singing along to the music. I had a little girl and her mummy who was also joining in, and I'm thinking I'm not going to pass this exam. But I got completely the opposite feedback. She couldn't believe, this little Jack Russell dog. Just he's the dog from the garden. He was sitting on my knee singing, and it was just so lovely to experience all that. And this little girl, because what I really want to do is get children from sort of preschool, nursery school, along to one of the sessions, or we could go along to one of the nursery schools and get them to work together, because young children and older people, it's such a lovely thing to see both of them working together.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
My guest on this edition of the D Word podcast is Love to Move coordinator Trudy Carruthers. Yeah, that sort of intergenerational mix, and it's really good with kids because kids don't judge, do they? So, this is a friendly person in front of me, whereas sadly, as adults, we do start to judge, particularly when people are living with dementia.
Yeah, definitely. And it's lovely to see them working like side by side. And, this little girl, she'd heard us singing in the garden, and she asked her mummy if she could join in. So, and then, of course, the dog decided to join in as well. So, it was a really good day.
Well, it must be good for your exam. It's all about audience participation, and you had a lot going on there, didn't you? So
I did.
That was good stuff. I mean, I'm sitting in my chair. There's people sitting listening to this in their chairs. I know this is only radio and not video, but what would you do? Start an average session. How would an average session start?
You just warm up and you sort of get your arms, sort of roll your shoulders, etc. Brush your hair. And there's a part of the British Gymnastics Foundation which is working, it's all about working your left and right side of your brain. So in the middle of the exercises, once we've warmed up a little bit, we do sort of lines. So it's from top to bottom. So you would draw a line with your sort of your finger top to bottom. And then with one hand, you draw a line, and with your non-dominant hand, you would draw a circle. So once you've got that going, one hand doing the line, one hand doing the circle, you then change it and you do your dominant hand the circle and your non-dominant hand the line. And so anyway, there's a lot of people. I've also done this at football clubs. There was four local football clubs in the northeast. We all got together, and the Newcastle United have got a memory cafe, and there's quite a lot of the other club, Carlisle United, there was Middlesbrough. They all do dementia work, which is fabulous. And anyway, I had the staff there doing the brain gymnastics, and you know, these are young people in the 20s, and they must have thought, oh, this is easy, this. And when we got to the circles, the triangles and the lines, nobody could do it. So it's training your brain, because your brain, you know, if you've got a routine, it's so easy. Just you stay in that routine, you don't use any other brain cells. But the work that the Gymnastics Foundation, the Deliver the Love to Move, we sort of swap from left to right of your side of your brain. So with your non-dominant hand, you would write your name, then you do your triangles, your lines, and it's really hard at first, because when I was doing my training, I'm thinking, I can't do this, I must have dementia. And it's not that at all, it's just because your brain isn't used to the swapping from side to side.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, here with your circles and your lines brings to the mind an uncle of mine whose party piece used to be batting himself on the head with one hand and making a circular movement on his stomach with the other one, and everybody looking at him said, "I wonder how you do that." So I guess it's, similar thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. But I mean, I tell my people in the classes, I says, if you're watching Coronation Street or Emmerdale, you know, just, you know, now and again, do your line and your triangle or your circle. And I mean, with me doing the classes, it's easier for me now. But when I first started training, and I'm like, you can't do it. And it's like one of them, you've got to pat your leg while you rub your other leg. And it's sort of getting them messages to your brain, and they're going, what are you doing?
I think it's important to people when they're diagnosed with dementia, so many doors close to them, and it's you can't do this, you can't do that, don't do this. And it's really important to keep opening up those pathways in the brain, and also giving people a sense of confidence that they can still work towards doing something.
Yeah, I mean, with the groups, it's a real good social group. The people form friendships, and you know, they don't realize that they're really giving the brain a workout. They're going because they like to have a cup of tea at the end, and some of them have a toastie afterwards and that. So they're going for that, but they don't realize that they're really working the brain. And I had one lady still come. I think she's 94, and she was using sticks to walk over to the group. And since we've done, because my group of people trained with me when I was learning, I used them as guinea pigs. So through, you know, they've learned with me and seen it develop, and now this lady's mobility is so much better because she's got more awareness, spatial awareness. And with her doing the, because nobody likes the triangles and the lines, they're like, oh, Trudy, we don't have to do this. I says, yes, you do. And but her mobility, and it's better for people with falls and etc. It just makes them more mobile, and it's so, I can't rate it enough. It's brilliant. It's really, really good.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing. I mean, we're probably quite drug obsessed in terms of if you've got something wrong with us, give us a pill or whatever. And this type of thing is perfect for social prescribing. In other words, go to the doctors, and the doctor says, actually, you should be going to, this Love to Move group. I mean, is that an area that you think about looking towards?
Yes, well, it's funny you should say about the social prescribing, because that's what I used to do. I used to be a nurse, about, oh, 7, 8 years ago, I was a nurse. Then I went into social prescribing from there, and I worked for a charity. But yeah, definitely. I mean, the groups, it is like a social group, but then I can also adapt it to people who are more with the dementia, you know, the more declining in dementia, but there's no level that I can't help them with. You know, I can go in, and some of the groups we do, it's quite a fast paced, and it's sort of they get hot and they've got to take the jumpers off, etc. And then some of the people that I do go into residential homes, you know, there's one class I went into, it was a new home, and I got no eye movement, no contact, no, they weren't engaging with me at all. And anyway, I put the music on and started doing a few of the, you know, the activities, etc. And the amount of the people in the group was amazing. And by the time I left, I had eye contact with them. They were like mimicking what I was doing with my hands, my legs. They were singing along to the music. And even the staff at the home, they were like, wow, you know, like, see, the lady over there, she doesn't usually interact with anything. And she just loved the music. She was singing very loud. She was doing the hand movements. And even if, you know, they'd had a stroke or they weren't very mobile, even if they moved a little bit, it's all helping the brain.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, there's so many benefits, isn't there? Because, we want to keep people in at home for longer. So you've already demonstrated that, your 94-year-old lady who's less likely to fall now just because of this. And it does amaze me what we were talking about right at the beginning, that more people don't actually know about this and therefore through it know about the positive benefits.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, to me, I think people are better in their own homes if they can stay there, because the more independent, the happier there. And I think, you know, in my opinion, some of the people that do go in the homes deteriorate quicker. So if you stay in your own home and you've got some activities like a love to move, and I'm also doing singing for the brain as well, which again, that's amazing. So if people have got these activities on the doorstep, it gets them out to socialize, but it also, you know, it's helping the brain to keep that little bit, you know, of the brain cells alive and keep them going. And they have a giggle, and they have a sing, and they have a, it's just brilliant. And it costs less to the government and the NHS if these people are in their own homes, you know, and they're happier there as well.
I guess I suppose the difficult side is that actually proving that you make a difference in terms of case studies and academic papers and all this kind of stuff. I got to say, when I was working at the Alzheimer's Society, when I was running six activity groups every week, and people used to say to me, "Well, how can you prove it's making a difference?" And I said, "Well, when someone leaves, they've got a smile on their face." But you see, it's kind of difficult to measure that in terms of them putting it in front of someone and say, "Can you give me some money to do this? Because it really works."
Yeah, but I mean, all of the doctors' practices in the near surrounding areas, they all promote the, you know, the classes, and they know by, you know, the patients that go, and they know the feedback that they get, and they can see the patients more, you know, mobile and more active. And they look forward to these sessions every week, and they're telling their friends. And I mean, I went from doing the sessions in a little room to now I've got a big, so, and I'm in a social club. I've got the big hall, and it's just fabulous. It's, as you say, it's the smile at the end of the session, the smiles and the giggling and the laughter. It's just priceless, really.
And with singing for the brain as well, I mean, music is that area that remains with people no matter what. And it's such a, I think it's very, very underrated in terms of the effects of music and how positive. We got, radio stations like Music for Dementia who have had on the show, etc. And that's, I mean, what you're doing singing for the brain also. The one thing that I talk to a lot of people about is that the music that you use moves with people's age ranges. So someone in their 80s now will have gone through rock and roll, the Beatles, psychedelic rock and glam rock, and be kind of looking at new romantics at the beginning of the 80s now. And so, do you find that with, the music that you use and people are enjoying?
It's like now there's a home just opened up, where I live, and it's for people with young onset dementia, so it's people in the 50s. So my love to move sort of music's all around the 80s, so it's like the Bee Gees and stuff like that, so you can tailor it. And there's a lot of I've also found that it's Halloween. I changed my music because I put a few Halloween songs in, and I hadn't changed the movements. I just changed the music, and it threw the whole class. The whole class were like, oh, I don't know what to do, because they put the music to the movement. And because I'd put a Halloween song in, and they were like, Trudy, Trudy, I don't like that. Can we just do so. You've got to mix it up a little bit, but there is like soundtracks from the 40s up until the 80s on the Love to Move and Singing for the Brain.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Always good to hear from you here on the D Word podcast. We're on all the social media platforms, and the email is tdwradio@gmail.com. On this edition, we're talking about Love to Move with my guest, Trudy Carruthers. Yeah, which is important. I guess it's important you just demonstrate the link there also between, you can't have the music separate from the movement. You got to put the two of them together. And, I mean, it's obviously, she's developed into a full-time thing for you. I mean, it must take a lot of time planning and, deciding what you're going to do when with who, etc.
Yeah, I mean, I just qualified in September, but I've been meeting a lot of people because it's something that I'm really passionate about, and I want to spread the word, and I don't have any red tape on me at the moment, because I used to work just in the boundary of Gateshead in Newcastle. So now with this working for myself, I can go wherever I please. So I've been invited by the council in Stockton. I've been invited down there to do some Love to Move classes. Hexham, Newcastle, Northumberland, South Shields, Sunderland. I just want to do it everywhere, actually, but I know there's only one of me, so I'll have to see.
Yeah, and I think that's, it's a problem. You do have to know your limits, don't you? But I guess it'd be nice if there was a Trudy in every area, and we had a lot more of these.
Yeah, well, watch this space, because you never know.
Okay, we'll hold you to that. I mean, going back to your experience with your, originally with your nan, I guess that things have moved on a little bit since then in terms of, the support that she had going through her journey.
Yeah, I mean, I think at that time there was no sort of like support for like my dad. It was my dad's mom. And I mean, sometimes he would go to see her and she didn't know who you were, and you just got on with it. There was no support. There was no groups to take her to. And she loved music and she loved bingo, et cetera, et cetera. But there was just nothing then. And like, I mean, that was only 15 years ago. So now I think there is a lot more, but I still think there's not enough for how many people do get diagnosed with dementia. Because with me being in the clinical setting, I used to see patients come in to see the doctor and they were getting a diagnosis, and they would get a leaflet and go, this is you've got dementia, here's a leaflet, and get on with it, and that's it. And there's no, like, your whole world is sort of falling apart. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's out there. So I just want to, it's quite a harrowing time thinking, I've got dementia. What am I going to do? Da, 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 da. But all these different groups. And then also, I found with my groups, like, the person always comes with the carer. And I mean, the carer's there as well. They don't have to, but it's just the way it happens at my groups. And it's lovely because then the carers, the partners, can talk to each other and they support each other through all of, there's different, there's different sort of the incline differently, etc. And, there's different levels and they all help each other through it. While the person's singing and they're doing the brain gymnastics, but there's support there for the carers as well, which I think is far, like, it's brilliant.
Yeah, and it's much needed as well with the number of carers that we have and the amount of money they save in the brilliant work that they do. In terms of this whole thing, I guess the frustrating thing is that you're up there doing a brilliant job in the Newcastle Gateshead area and spreading out a little bit. But it's very piecemeal around the country as to what there is available, and it really needs somebody to just grab hold of it and join it all together a bit.
Yeah, I know in Gateshead we have a sort of a central sort of, it's like a dictionary, and you go on to that. It's called Now Gateshead, and you type in what it is you're looking for, and there's a big directory of what's available. But to me, I think, as you say, there should be more of a nationwide thing because, this isn't just happening in Gateshead, it's happening all over England and Scotland, all over the world. So, Love to Move is a big organisation. So hopefully there will be other people. Well, I know there is other people in England that do this Love to Move. But it's just we need more. It's like hopefully, what I'm doing and I can sort of employ somebody else to also do some classes because I'd love to just get them all over. I really, really would because it's helping the person with the dementia plus the carer, and it's enabling them to stay at home and be independent and to enjoy their life as much as they can.
Yeah, it's a double whammy, isn't it? Not only, when someone's living with dementia and they have a carer or a loved one, it's very much a team, and you're taking care of the team. I guess what it needs in terms of gymnastics, it'd be nice if you had one of the big sort of gold medal gymnasts, Max Whitlock, someone like that, who came on board, and then gave it a bit more publicity.
Yeah, definitely. That might be a good thing to sort of promote, actually, because I didn't know anything about it. It was a lady that I'd met through my work, who and I was like, brain gymnastics, what's that? And I got her to come along to one of our groups, and that's how I was like, this is fantastic. And I'd also did some work with a professor at Newcastle University, and she came to one of the sessions and she loved it. And she was like, Trudy, I can't do it, but it's brilliant. And she saw the social side of it, plus they didn't realize because if you were going somewhere and they'd said, oh, it's to work your brain because we're going to use it from the left to the right and we're going to, nobody would come. But if you see, oh, you can get a cup of tea at the end and we're going to have a sing song and, they love that and they don't realize that they're really helping the brain to work. They don't realize it because they're having so much fun. I mean, we take them on trips to Beamish Museum. And they've got a piano. We go to the 1950s cottages, and we toast our bread on the open fire with toast and forks with the staff because it's like we go in for a proper. It's like part of their health and well-being team, and then we sort of sit round the piano, and we've got a lady that plays the piano, and we sing old songs. So then again, you see the people with the dementia who sit there and they don't say anything, and they're very quiet, but once the music starts, they're just singing from from the feet, and it's so loud and so lovely to see. It's just amazing.
Yeah, with your experience, obviously, you've had the nurse experience, you've been involved in social prescribing. Do you think we undervalue all those social things like sitting around having a cup of tea, having a chat, and that kind of stuff? And it just seems to me that that's an undervalued resource, which is every bit as good as the medical treatments that are available.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It's like, I go to football as well, and I did a lot of work with people with mental health problems as well. And to me, I think going to a football match, it should be put on prescription, because the atmosphere, it's part of a community, you feel together. And like, I support the Newcastle United Memory Cafe. That's on every month. And people with dementia, it's so strange because they remember in 1978 where they were when whatever person scored that goal and they won a trophy. And every month at Newcastle, they have an ex-player who talks about what it was like to play with Gazza and, all these different managers they had, etc. And you can see these people come alive and they remember all this, but they can't remember where they went yesterday. But they're stuck back in that time, and they know the year, they know where they were. It's just fabulous, it's just really astonishing, and it's lovely to see.
And I think it makes you realise how important those things are to people. I'm a big football fan, and I can remember those things as well. I'm an Arsenal fan, so I can remember things that have happened in the past. And I think that is so important. And I think what you need really in terms of gymnastics, you've opened up a whole world here because we started doing a bit of a chair exercise, but actually there are so many other bits to this than just the activity and the music.
Yeah, there definitely is. It's a community. It's coming together and it's being there for each other, and just to talk to people, to share memories. Because with the music that I use, is some of the music is from the 40s, which is the war. And one of the ladies in my class, she says, "I used to sing that when I was little, but I changed the words." And she could go right back in time, and she was sitting on a little wooden cracket with her granddad in front of the fire. And all through this song, it took her right back to there. And it was amazing.
It's incredible, the power of music, the power of movement. Well, sadly, time's bringing us to a bit of a close, but thank you, Trudy. I mean, all we can say is keep on doing what you're doing, and we hope we're going to hear a lot more about Love to Move from British Gymnastics in the future.
Definitely, definitely. I will pr be promoting it, that is for sure.
Good stuff. Thanks for being my guest.
No problem. Lovely to speak to you, Peter.
Thanks to Trudy, and I know I'll be practicing my lines from now on. And you can find out all about Love to Move at BritishGymnasticsFoundation.org. Well, that's all for this edition. Thanks for your company, and I hope you join me again soon for some more Dementia Talk right here on the D Word Podcast.